Our scripture reading is taken from 1 John chapter 5. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. I need to find some new friends. That's what he said to me. He was a young man in his early 20s who had recently been brought to faith as an adult convert and had gone through instruction classes and so on, and joined the church and was all excited about understanding the Christian faith, appreciated what his Savior had done for him. And now he was sitting in my office, had come to talk to me because he needed to find new friends. And I said, well, why? He said, well, I used to think like them too. I used to sit and ridicule Christianity and things in the Bible and things about the commandments of God. I used to make fun of that. And now it's hard for me to sit there with my friends at Barnes & Noble and go over all of this without saying anything. I said, well, maybe the way the Lord can use you is among your friends to be a good testimony to the truth and to stand up for what God says. He said, well, the problem is I'm afraid that if I keep hanging around with them, it's going to influence me and start me to lose my faith in Christ. One of the indicators that we have saving faith created in our hearts by the Holy Spirit is that along with that comes a desire in the heart of the believer to want to listen to the voice of Christ and to want to appreciate that voice and to follow his commands. And we have this desire built in us by the Holy Spirit to follow the commands of God, not to earn anything. We couldn't. That's impossible. We know that. But because Christ has earned it all for us through his death and by his blood, and through faith in him, we appreciate that and what it means for us in our future. And the new man in us has a desire to want to live according to the commandments of God. It's a natural thing that happens in the heart of faith. We see this in the story of Zacchaeus, the tax collector who had been cheating people for years and exaggerating the tax code to gain a lot of financial advantage for himself. Suddenly, when Christ comes to visit him and he comes to an awareness of his sin and now appreciates the great forgiveness of God, before Jesus can even say a word to him about what he should do, he offers that he's going to go and repay people. This is what the heart of faith does. It has a natural response to the gospel in wanting to line up our lives in line with the will of God, with our Savior. Faith is the great source of all Christian life. Faith in Christ is the generator inside of the heart of the believer that is the source of everything we do then as a Christian. And God has created faith in this special way, has designed it in this special way, that when it is worked inside of us and is active inside of us, it brings with us this innate, this built-in desire to line up our lives with the will of God. In this 18th week of Trinity, when we think about the law and the gospel, as we find in the scripture, those two important teachings, we come to deeply appreciate the law of God, which primarily has been worked to diagnose our sin, to see how desperately we need our Savior. We have come to appreciate the wonderful gospel that rescues us and saves us and takes us to heaven. But also, we as believers go back and reflect on the same law that diagnosed our sin and now have a new desire to want to obey it. The new man has this built-in urge to line up his life with Christ. I've been in the homes of many members of congregations I've served, and probably the most prominent Christian imagery that I see in Christian houses, besides maybe a cross on the wall, is a picture of Christ as the Good Shepherd. That's one of our most favorite images of how we relate to Christ and what he's done for us. It recalls for us how he's laid down his life for his sheep and guides us and so on. And he says to us in that text, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me." The Christian looks at his life, her life, and realizes that when it comes to the commandments of God and wanting to follow them, that this isn't a smorgasbord at Old Country Buffet. This isn't a place where we can walk along and pick out the things we'd like to keep and leave off of our spiritual plate the things that we don't want to try to follow. When the ear of one of Jesus' sheep, when the sheep of Christ hears the voice, when they hear the voice of their good shepherd, they not only perk up and start listening to it and recognize it, they turn their heads toward it and begin walking in that direction. Conversely, when those who hypocritically claim to belong to Christ and hear his voice in his commands talking to them about something that's going on in their life, and they clearly hear it, recognize his voice, but don't have any desire to move away from what they're doing, then the faith that they profess is phony. Dr. Walther put it this way: if you believe in a Christ who permits you to return to live in the very sins that he died to redeem you from, then you believe in a Christ who is worthless and does not exist. So if you and I are in a spot in our lives where we clearly hear and recognize the voice of Christ speaking to us, warning us about a poisonous patch of grass that we are eating from, and we have no desire to get away from it and to go toward his voice, that is dangerous stuff for us spiritually. God would have us reflect on what this good shepherd has done for us. Just think of what your Savior has done for you. He's come into this world, emptied himself of his glory, taken on the lowly nature of a servant, let himself be abused and spit at, and let himself be crucified to atone for every sin you and I have ever committed before God, so I could declare you forgiven today. By that great sacrifice and by his resurrection, he's given us the hope that someday by faith in him, we're going to come out of our graves too, and we're going to get to go up through the clouds into heaven just as he did with his ascension. Think of the glorious future that he has planned for you. Think of everything that he's done for you. Why would that good shepherd who's done all of that give you commands to follow that would hurt you? Of course he wouldn't. The commands that he gives you and me now, even in this earthly life, that we should follow are for our benefit. They're for our good. It's not to make life restrictive and difficult. It's to bring us blessings not only eternally, but even now in this life. And so may we turn our heads to him in repentance and follow his loving and saving voice. And by faith in him, we have overcome the world and the death that rules in this world. And may we always sing with the fellow sheep in the flock of Christ, "Oh, that the Lord would guide my ways to keep his statutes still. Oh, that my God would grant me grace to know and do his will. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." Amen.